This is our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine. Good to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio on this Monday, January 28th. We will recap the top political stories in Wisconsin from the past week, including that big hearing on legislation that would change the permitting process to open an iron mine in Wisconsin. And we will also get a preview of what's up this week, too. And we'll welcome your thoughts and questions and reactions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. As he usually is, Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, is with us for this half of our State Capitol Report. Good morning, Sean.
Morning.
So there was that was a pretty crowded hearing on that mining legislation last week.
There were a lot of people who testified, and you know, even though it was 12 hours, there were a lot of people who wanted to testify who didn't get to. They said going in it was going to be 9 a.m. to 9 in the morning till 9 at night, and they cut it off.
Yeah. So recap or remind us what this bill would do that had the public hearing.
This is the latest version of the Republican mining bill, which is basically the same version of the Republican mining bill that passed the Joint Finance Committee last session, with some changes, but it's largely the same bill. And, this was its one and only public hearing last week. There was a joint public hearing by the Assembly and Senate committees that are hearing the mining bill. Broadly speaking, this bill would speed up the timelines or set firm timelines in law for the permitting process for mines, about 480 days for a mining permit. But it would also make, myriad changes to environmental law in the process and make it a lot easier for a mining company to basically rearrange the landscape at a mining site and, within a perimeter of a mining site.
Okay, well, give us some of the highlights of those who testified.
Yeah, so we did hear from the mining company who wants this legislation. This is the company called GTAC. Last session, after this bill didn't pass, they said that they were going to pull out of Wisconsin, but they were there yesterday. They, despite time limits on other speakers, they spoke at length and said that if this bill passes, they will begin work on a permit in Wisconsin, and this is GTAC's Bob Seitz.
If this bill or something substantially similar were passed, we absolutely would intend to be here and would move forward as quickly as the law allowed.
And they said some other things. Last year, they were sort of mum on the environmental changes in the bill, said that that they weren't asking for them, that they wanted certainty. At the hearing last week, they said that those changes were absolutely necessary for the bill and that certainty goes beyond just the timeline. The extensive changes to what you can do at a mining site under environmental law in Wisconsin are something that's supported by the mining company.
All right. So who else was there?
We'll just kind of try to go through some of the major players here, given the limited time. Real brief clip here from the Army Corps of Engineers, Rebecca Grasser, who has spoken on mining issues before and sounded sort of surprised at last week's hearing.
Apparently there was some, I don't know if there was some mix-up, but we weren't invited to testify.
Which is for her to open her comments with that, I include that because the Army Corps is a very big player in whether or not there's going to be a mine in northern Wisconsin or anywhere else. Every mine has to go through a state permitting process and a federal permitting process. She has testified at other committee hearings that if you have a faster state permitting process than the feds, and she says the federal, that Federal Army Corps of Engineers usually takes 2.5 to 4 years. That if you have a faster permitting process at the state, you open up a mining company for potential problems, potential lawsuits, things along those lines. She basically repeated that testimony here last week, but the statement at the beginning definitely raised some eyebrows.
Yeah. Briefly, Sean, I'm trying to wrap my head around this.
Okay.
If this bill passes and we have a faster permitting process than the feds, Can the feds say, whoa, slow down?
The feds aren't going to be, the feds are going to go at their timeline. I mean, they're going to go at their pace. And 2.5 to 4 years might be, she said that they've taken as long as 10 years on some permits. I don't know if that would be the case here, but I do know that the type of mine that they're talking about firing in Ashland counties would be huge. And given all the water in the area, could be very complex with the environmental impact statement, and so it could take a long time.
Yeah, environmental groups are very, very concerned about this legislation.
Yeah, so, and you heard us from a sampling of them. George Meyer of the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation spoke, and George has the distinction of being a former DNR secretary who dealt with mining issues during his time in the legislature, and he said that There are some pretty huge changes in this bill, and he highlighted one in particular.
Current mining law says DNR cannot approve a project that will destroy or fill in or destroy a lake. That is removed from this law. To me, that is a critically important standard.
And George Meyer is saying, you have to remember, this would be the largest mine of its kind, basically. It's certainly not like the largest mine in the world, but as far as an open pit taconite mine, this is an enormous proposal. There's a lot of water up in that area, and to remove that protection is something that he thinks and his group thinks is major.
Yeah, Republican lawmakers keep saying that the bill does not change environmental standards. Mm-hmm. So are they deceiving us?
It doesn't, the standards for parts per million or things along those lines that are the water quality standards that cover all of the state of Wisconsin remain intact. But in terms of the way that you can reach those at a mining site, gives a mining company a lot of latitude to reach them. They have to come up with something called a waste characterization study, and where they go in and find out what's in the rock around this ore that they want to get to. And it's a low-grade ore. So, I mean, there's all these things that they have to do. They have to engineer a way to deal with any waste. I think what environmental groups are saying is that, with all these exemptions and everything in the bill for how you hit those standards, you're not going to be able to engineer your way out of millions of tons of waste that potentially contains sulfur.
Yeah. And meanwhile, people who support this mine are saying they want the jobs.
Yeah. I mean, and you did hear from people up in Hurley who said, we have seen our community just fall deeper and deeper into despair, and we want jobs badly. Here's a company that's saying that they want to be here. They've produced this economic study that's shown that in the long term that there would be more than a couple thousand jobs as a result of this mine. And so you had people like Hurley School District Administrator Chris Petrito, who testified in favor of this plan, saying, give it a chance. This is something that the community embraces.
We don't want our kids leaving, best and brightest leaving, to go elsewhere when they can stay here with us. But we need something for them.
But you also heard members of the community up there, or members of the area that could be affected by this, saying they're scared by it. You know that if it's something that goes through, they'll do whatever they can to stop it. In Ashland, County Supervisor Charles Ortman said he was particularly troubled by parts of the bill that make it harder for the DNR to stop a mine that's in that's already up and running, even if they suspect that it's troubled.
To do this kind of thing, and I can't look my constituents in the face, I'll be laying on the Pinoki Mountains and you'll run over me with a bulldozer before this thing goes through.
Ooh.
It's you're talking to Mike Simonson, who covers that area for us in Superior. It's just a extremely an emotional issue, for the North, because there are those sides to it. People desperately want jobs there, and but this is not the, you hear it said a lot, but this is not the type of mine that Wisconsin became famous for. It's not a mom and pop mine. It's enormous in scale.
Yeah, and these Pinoki Hills would be would be not stripped, but it's a big open pit mine.
Well, yeah, I mean in the mm-hmm. area where it would be, yeah. they would certainly, yeah, they'd be stripped. It's that where you see hills there now and you know trees would be gone.
And it also this mine is near the Bad River, and that flows into Lake Superior, so there's concern about that as well.
Yeah, and it's also why in any summary of this mine, and certainly a summary of the public hearing, you really can't talk about the major players without mentioning the tribes, in particular the Bad River Band of the Lake Superior Chippewa. And Tribal Chairman Mike Wiggins was at the hearing, and their concern is that this proposed mine, is upstream from them, and that it would damage their watershed that's on ceded territory. And so they have treaty rights that he says protects that, and they're not going to give that up lightly because of what they think could happen.
The obliteration of a headwaters in a watershed system is catastrophic. It is catastrophic for the ecosystem, which ultimately is catastrophic for the human population that is dependent and interconnected with it. That's what we're talking about, and it's forever.
So the Bad River Tribe will fight this in court?
Yeah, they've said they'll fight it in court. And actually, you heard other testimony, not from the Bad River, but from another tribe who said that, look, we don't fight with bows and arrows anymore. We fight with words in court. And, you know, we're not going to just roll over and let this happen. So you can, you know, with almost 100% certainty, you could say that there would be a legal challenge to this if the, you know, the mine were ever to go forward.
I know that Democratic State Senator Tim Cullen of Janesville also introduced his mining bill last week, mm-hmm. the day before this public hearing on the Republican legislation. Is his legislation a whole lot different?
Yes. And as you mentioned, since we're talking about the tribes, I mean, his could run into the same issue just because his doesn't include so much of what's in the Republican bill. It could be that the tribes would file suit against any mine in that area. But Tim Cullen's bill, you know, in sum, it's just a lot shorter. It talks about timelines and, you know, basically prescribes how fast that an agent, you know, the DNR has to do things, but it just doesn't touch the environmental changes that are in the Republican bill. And that's basically why he sort of, you know, holds up with pride his copy of the bill, which is something like 25 pages versus the Republican bill, which is just north of 200 pages.
So where does mining go from here?
We don't know. The committee chair, at least the assembly committee chair, said she didn't know when they were going to hold a vote on this plan. So, you know, it could be right around the corner, or it could be that it takes a while. I mean, there may be, you know, a couple Republican members of the Senate, which is basically all you need, that want some changes to the bill. That'd be Republican Senator Dale Schultz and somebody else. So nobody's been as vocal as him on this, but I think if the Senate's not moving quickly on this, that's a sign that they want some changes.
Yeah, I did see some Democratic lawmakers were calling for another hearing. Is that likely or
no? But they're going to take their bill up north, and they're going to hold a listening session. You know, it's not something that carries the force of law, or it's not official in that regard, but they will have something up north.
All right. Well, we have to talk about some other things that happened at the state capitol last week, and we will. We'll talk some about some news on an income tax cut proposal and more as our state capitol report continues here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Quick check of the weather. Areas of dense fog and light freezing drizzle this morning. Otherwise, a cloudy and mild day today. Highs will be in the mid to upper 30s. This is our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. And Sean, last week, Governor Walker and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss hinted that the income tax cut that the governor proposed or will propose in his budget could total about $340 million over the next 2 years. So what does that mean to you and me?
Well, the governor says that, you know, if, you know, his math is right, it's going to be about $200 per person over the next couple years. I would just caution, you know, wait till the details come out on that. Wait till the Fiscal Bureau memo comes out on that, because, you know, we're actually hearing the governor and the speaker talk about the tax cut should be directed at people that make more than $20,000, less than $200,000. The amount of money the state has in reserve is sort of changing day by day, and so to say it's going to be $200 per person, I can't tell you if you're listening to the radio right now that you're going to get a $200 income tax cut over the next couple of years. But as the governor's budget comes out next month, you should have a better idea of what it would mean for the average person.
Yeah. So the reserves are going to be better. There are the so-called surplus is higher than it originally was thought to be.
Yeah. I mean, we were originally thinking, based on a report that was put out by the administration, that the state had about $348 million in reserve. Report that came out last week, and this was by the Nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau, showed that that number is actually higher. And actually, if you take the state's the money that's going to be at the state's in the state's general fund at the end of this year, add it to money that's already in the state's rainy day fund, and then you're looking at the state having, you know, roughly $600 million in the bank, which it hasn't had in a while. It was a good news, bad news report for the state, though. The state did have higher revenues coming in for this fiscal year. Actually, it's cut spending for this fiscal year, too. And so it's going to have more money in the bank at the end of June. But because of changes they made in the federal estate tax during the fiscal cliff deal, the state is going to lose more than $200 million, well over $200 million of revenue over the next couple years. And so if you look at what state agencies have asked to spend over the next couple years, compare it what this, to what the state is expected to take in tax revenue, and, you know, the revenue doesn't meet the expenditures. And so, you know, it's going forward, they still have some decisions to make if they want to pay for Medicaid and they want a tax cut and they want to fund roads. It's going to be tricky.
Yeah. Well, speaking of funding roads, that Transportation Commission released its final report last week, calling for a hike in the gas tax, calling for a mileage-based registration fee. Where's this going?
Yeah, this is a commission that's been studying this issue for a while. Sometimes they set up commissions like these as a way to give lawmakers political cover, to say, look, we've studied all the issues, and here are the tough choices. We need to do this and this. And Craig Thompson of the Wisconsin Transportation Development Association definitely took the lead on this issue. And he was saying that when you look at the gas tax in context, we have more fuel efficient cars now. And so a gas tax increase wouldn't be as bad as people might think.
If you were driving a car that got 15 miles per gallon and you were paying the 30.9 cents for each gallon you drove, you buy a new car that gets 30 miles per gallon, you've effectively cut your gas tax in half. So the 5 cent increase, you'd still be paying less after that increase than you were when you were driving your previous car.
But this is an area where Republicans, the governor, and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss have both said, we're not going to do a tax increase, period. I mean, they've been pretty flat out no on that one. And the vehicle-based registration fee that you're talking about, that's something that Speaker Voss said last week he didn't want to do either.
That is not going to happen anytime in the future. I certainly believe in the idea of saying that people who use the roads, who use highways, should be the ones paying for it. But at the same time, having us be the first place in the country that has some kind of a new device in your car, probably not the right way for Wisconsin to go at this time.
And I don't. To be clear, that's not exactly what the commission is talking about doing. It'd be something where you report your mileage. And then if you sell your car and you underreported, they'd get you on the back end. Speaker Voss said he'd have to look at the details on that. But that was his immediate response there. It doesn't sound like somebody who's willing to go that road.
Well, I think we, because of a shortage of time here, we should move on. We had a former aide of Governor Walker was sentenced last week.
Yeah, Tim Russell, who was, you know, close to the governor for a long time politically and was a deputy chief of staff. Prosecutors had recommended that he get 2 years in prison and a couple years probation. The judge, David Hanscher, went with the 2 years recommended prison time and actually gave him a longer sentence of probation, 5 years, and fairly stern with Tim Russell. Said he didn't think he felt any remorse for what he'd done.
Based upon the statements in a pre-sentence report and what you said today, that there is absolutely no true regret, remorse, or repentance, I find that you don't even have any shame.
So,
strong words.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of big fish in this John Doe investigation in Milwaukee, you know, Tim Russell was really sort of the biggest. He was the closest to the governor for the longest, and you know, that's kind of where the investigation stands at this point. Some of the big names that have been thrown out there for the investigation have had their sentencing, and so still it's a question mark on where that thing hits next.
Well, we have just a minute to go. Sean, can you just tell us briefly about the Right the Rules proposal from Assembly Republicans?
Yeah, they want to look at basically every chapter of administrative code for the state of Wisconsin. So these are the fine details of law written by state agencies to flesh out the bills that pass the legislature. And they want to go through them bit by bit in all their committees. So a huge undertaking. They actually concede that it's not all going to get done this session. But, you know, that sounds harmless enough, and a lot of them will be. But if you start taking these administrative codes and rewriting them to what business wants to see, there could be some, you know, hidden news gems in there.
Well, we'll have to leave it there. We're out of time. Sean, thanks very much.
All right. Thanks, Joy.
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio, state government reporter.